right. Well, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And, of course, this is the final charge, the charge to finish faithfully. We've been talking about building people who build churches. And as I mentioned, this is the antibiotic for the last days, and we all need it. As Paul, of course, is dealing with perilous times in chapter 3, the last days are perilous, and so we got to be able to handle all of those things. So we saw the charge to preach faithfully, powerful response to perilous times, a personal responsibility before God, a practical response in the present reality. And that's what we saw before we got to chapter 4. This week we're picking up the final charge, we're going to finish this up, hopefully. I'm going to just kind of review, so Sam can fill in his blanks, and Jamie, if you want to do that. The charge to finish faithfully requires that the man of God be prepared to fight. And so, before I continue with the review, let's just look at the text so it'll make the review a lot more sensible. And we'll start in verse 1 and read down through verse 8, and then I'll tell you when we're picking up new blanks, but I'll do some review. And so 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, very familiar but still very powerful and profound passage, says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage and we prepare to review it and finish this up, Lord, we do look forward to your appearing. And Lord, I pray, God, that we will have these crowns that he's mentioning. And I love the way that Paul includes us in this. Lord, help us to fight the good fight of faith. Let us lay hold on these things, and help us to have a good study tonight as we look into the Word of God. Encourage us, even though we're a Spartan few, Lord, it only takes a few to turn the world upside down. So Lord, use the things we talk about tonight to accomplish your mission and your power for your glory. Thank you for the Word that's gone forth today in Passaic, that's went forth at the park, it's went forth in all kinds of churches all over the land today, all over the world in the last 24 hours. We pray, God, your word, we know it will not return void. We pray to be fervent and effectual and work in your church's life. Lord, continue to draw people to yourself and to salvation, edification, and Lord, we pray your exaltation as we take the gospel all over the planet, plant churches, make disciples that reproduce your mission in others. We thank you and praise you for this time tonight, and we ask your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the first point one, is be prepared to fight, right? That's verse 5. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist." So make full proof of thy ministry. The watchman needs to be ready to go, because the you never know when the enemy's coming across the border. So we talked about the need to be prepared to fight. Point A is be prepared to watch, right? Be prepared to watch. So we took some time and talked about being a watchman, and so I think the next blank there is probably, is it point B? Okay. Be prepared to endure afflictions, which is pretty self-evident. Endure afflictions. So we talked about the underlying theme throughout the entire second epistle of Timothy is making sure that Timothy is prepared to endure the afflictions that's going to be necessary to advance the mission. And of course, we know in history he did do that, and he ended up dying in Ephesus as a martyr. And so he was faithful to the end. And then the next thing that we saw is point C, prepare to work. Right, do the work of an evangelist. There's work involved. And so, as I mentioned back then, when we cover that, the Greek word for work, you remember, it means work. So get to work, right? Do work. And so that's what they say in the soccer field, right, Sam? So do work. And so be ready to work. Do the work of evangelism. Evangelism's not always fun. It's work, right? I actually have fun doing it, but actually, like when we go take them to the streets and stuff like that, but there is a mindset where you just got to get out and do it, right? It's not going to do itself. You got to get out and do the work of an evangelist. And so whether it's here in Harrisonville, Cass County, in the country, around the world, right, we got to do that. And so that brings us to point D, fulfill your ministry, right? Make full proof of thy ministry. right? So we like, in Kentucky, they like 100-proof alcohol. In ministry, we like 100-proof Christians, right? Fully full of the Spirit and ready to impact the world. So we want to make full proof of thy ministry. And as we left last, or no, it wasn't last week, so a couple weeks ago. Wait, is that where we left off? Yeah, that's where we left off. So I told you about my Zane Hall story, and I still have PTSD over that. So I kid, but seriously, you don't want to leave anything on the table. That was the story where I didn't give my all, and I was waiting for the right moment, and it was over, and I lost the opportunity. So you don't want to be in that position. You want to give everything you got while you have opportunity. All right, so the charge to finish faithfully requires the man of God be prepared to fight. Now, point two, be prepared to finish. Be prepared to finish. So that's picking us up where we left off. And be prepared to finish. And man, I tell you what, you got to finish the fight. When I was I don't know if I should share this story or not, but when I was a young boy, I got into a fight and I had to finish it. And it took the command of my father to get me to do that, because he told me like two or three times, don't. And then the last part of it, he's like, go ahead and finish him. So, because the guy kept getting up and coming after me, so I had to finish it. That was a hard lesson. But anyway, but be prepared to finish. So he says here in verse 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So Paul was prepared to finish because he had finished his course by preparing others, like Timothy, like Titus, right, to replace him. So he had disciples. So he felt like he could finish because he had people in place so he could finish. So point A here is ready to be offered because he had fought a good fight. So he's going to be offered. I talked about it this morning at the park, right? Anybody remember how do we record him being offered? His departure. How did Paul finish his race?
His head got chopped off.
Yeah, his head got chopped off. So the time of his departure was at hand. That's actually what he's talking about. Now, I don't know how much information he had about how he was going out, but he knew he was going out, and he was ready for it to be offered. So he looked at it like he's just going to lay down like a lamb and let the Lord do what he does. He was okay with that because he had fought a good fight. So Paul likens himself to a drink offering. He's ready to be offered because he had fought a good fight and is ready to receive the joy of pouring out his life for Jesus. So as his head rolls down the hill or wherever it's at, and his blood pours out on the ground, he's like a drink offering. And so in Philippians 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all, which I think I put that in your notes there, right? So he was one that was willing to be offered as a sacrifice. And of course, he was a sacrifice, literally. Now, he can't atone for anyone's sin, but he can be poured out in honor to God, and that's what he did. So while he did spiritually fight well, he's implying he fought a fight that was good, and he was on the right team, right? So you can't say what he said unless you fight well and you're on the proper team, right? If you're on the wrong team, you're not fighting a good fight. And if you don't fight well, you can't say, I fought a good fight, right? So he fought well, and he's on the right team. And it's never too late to join the winning team. Isn't that nice? So you know what? Nero could have joined the winning team. Instead of burning Christians to light up his promenade there, he could have said, you know what, Paul, you're right. I think I'm going to repent and I'm going to join your team. That would have been a good call for Nero, but instead he chose to run with the devil. And so when I was lost, I deceived Roger Bunny and influenced Mike Doss for evil. These are a couple friends of mine. I'm still friends with them. But once I joined the right team, right, Team Jesus, then I was able to go back and lead those lost to Christ and strengthen the saints. So my friend Mike Blake, or not Mike, well, Mike Blake's my friend, but this, my friend Mike Doss ended up getting saved after that. And I remember distinctly working against working for the devil in his life when I was a lost person, because the devil was who I was serving. I was on the wrong team. But then when I got saved, I switched teams, right? So you can do that. When you get saved, you turn to Christ, right? Just like we talked about this morning. God puts you on the right team. And then Roger Bunny, he's a good friend of mine. He's a detective for Independence Police Department. He just retired this year. But at any rate, Roger was one that when I was about, 14 or 15 is when I was playing baseball with him. A great pitcher. Anyway, Roger, he got saved. His neighbors led him to Christ. And man, he was telling me all about it, and how him and these two neighbors got together and they prayed, and Jesus came in his heart. So what did I do? I lied to him, and I told him I was a Christian, and I wasn't a Christian. And so because I said I was a Christian, he's like, "Well, I didn't know that." And I'm like, "Whatever." And so he has me over to his house. I'm spending time with Roger. He's my buddy. We play baseball together. But you know what I did? What do you think I did? I undermined a lot of what God was doing in his life. You go to church? No, I don't want to go to church. You want to do this? No. Hey, why don't you do the party thing? You know, come with me, Roger. Now, Roger wasn't really plugged into church, so he had gotten saved, but it was a really important time in his life. So what happened is, once I got saved, what did I do? Well, I met him up at the car wash, and I said, "Roger, hey, I'm really born again." So number one, I was a liar. I want to tell you that. I lied to you. I wasn't saved when you told me about your salvation. Number two, now I am saved, and I confessed a few things that I knew I had influenced him in the wrong direction. And I remember him looking at me going, okay. And so anyway, we're friends to this day. And his daughter, actually, I just saw some pictures of her on Facebook the other day. So at any rate, so when you change teams, sometimes you need to let everybody know whose team you're on. Because especially if you were playing double agent for the devil, you know, let everybody know. And so Paul fought a good fight. So we could do the same, right? So once you join Jesus' team, you can go back and you can lead the lost to Christ, and you can strengthen the saints that you once were trying to destroy. So there was a time I was trying to get Mike Doss to go party, and then next thing you know, I'm trying to get him to come to Monday Night Bible Study. And I don't know, there's a famous Monday Night Bible Study that George Grace came in, and Ron, you might have been there, or you might have still been in college, but George Grace came in. Were you there when the lights went out?
Nope.
Oh. So we have Monday Night Bible Study. George Grace, I think you guys probably know who George Grace is, up at Rochester, New York. And he was in that weekend for some conference we had, and he was doing the Monday Night, he stayed over to do Monday Night Bible Study. And we had the strangest power outage happen. So, and it was just our big church on the corner of 55th Street and the church across the street. There's four, 55th and Blue Ridge, there's four churches, one in every corner. And our lights go out. So we did this by candlelight. And it was that night. He was a Roman Catholic, had studied for the priesthood and all of that stuff. And so he shared his testimony that night. And my buddy Mike Doss, who was my friend in drafting class, I got saved in Earl. We both had Earl Cross as our drafting instructor, all that business. Grew up with him. I was on South Paul Drive in Sibley. He's on South Paul Circle. Known him, you know, a good part of my life, which at that time was pretty short. But at any rate, so after the altar call, Mike did not get saved. But I was able to take him to my house in Independence, and we opened up the Bible, his Catholic Bible, his Dewey Reams Bible. And you know what? What's in that Dewey Reams Bible? The plan of salvation. So I was able to lead him to the Lord in his Dewey Reams Bible and send him home. And so we're friends of this day, and he is born again. So praise God for that. And so you can take, you know what? When you switch teams, you can bring people with you. That's my point, right? So make sure you bring all your friends with you, especially the ones that are willing. Not everybody was willing to come, but some were, and I'm thankful for it. So it kind of reverses the curse, right? You get to do a little damage on the devil. All right, so Paul fought a good fight, and we should do the same. Point B, ready to depart. Right, he's ready to depart because he had finished his course. He'd finished his course. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul was preparing to leave Ephesus, he said in Acts 20:24, and I think I've left the verse there, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God." So Paul was now writing to the same church family he wept with in Acts chapter 20 and confidentially tells them that he has finished his course. So find find out who God has called you to be so you can do that which God has called you to do. That's one of the principles of discipleship, one that is really just so profound, right? Be who God saved you to be so you can do that which God has saved you to do, right? So he said in Acts 20:24 that I might finish my course with joy. Now we know early in Acts, Paul, from his salvation, had a course for him. I'll just go back there real quick and refresh that because it's not in our notes. Acts chapter 9. And so in Acts chapter 9, the Lord tells Paul after actually he doesn't tell Paul, he tells Ananias as he's like, hey, I got a special plan for Paul. And Paul obviously figures it out. In verse 10, it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. This is Acts 9:10. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to the saints at Jerusalem. Right? And we talked about Jerusalem this morning, right? The city of peace. Paul's down there tearing it up, murdering Christians. And so he says in verse 14, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Why? Because I have a course for him. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before, here's his course, the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul, right off the bat, now Ananias knows it, and then Paul's going to know that he's got a special course, and he's going to suffer for specifically here. Notice the order: the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. So the Holy Ghost puts the Gentiles first. Why do you think he does that? Because I thought it was to the Jew first. Paul said to the Jew first and also the Greek. Now, those are little things you need to notice when you study your Bible. Gentiles, why? Because Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. That's right. So God is being very specific. He has a special unction to go to the Gentiles. Like certain people, like Doug Pearson, has a special unction to go to Asia. I think Doug would be effective anywhere, but since we were Sam's age, God has put it on his heart to go to Asia. So that's where he's at. He's got a special unction to Asia, right? And so Paul had a special unction. God was going to call him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter's the apostle to the Jews, right? But not only the Gentiles, to kings. He also had a special opportunity to talk to Agrippa, to talk to Nero. So like Billy Graham, if you ever go, by the way, go to the Billy Graham Museum if you've never been there. You haven't been there. You need to go. And so you go to the Billy Graham Museum, and it really is really tasteful. I didn't think I'd like it, especially at first. But once you get in there, it's all about the gospel. And it's obvious God gave Billy Graham a special ability, like Paul, a special course to run. And he was going to stop off, and he's going to talk to principalities and powers. Every president, you know, and it wasn't just for press. Press releases. Billy Graham literally had open doors with presidents. If you read his autobiography, he actually tells you when he was young, he messed it up with Harry Truman. Harry Truman really took him to school. And so he learned how to handle presidents better because of Harry Truman, because he divulged information that Harry Truman wasn't wanting him to divulge. And so in his youthful zeal, so God chastened him. So even though he was called to talk to all these guys, he had to be discipled in how to do it, right? And so I'm sure Paul had some of the same things going on. And of course, lastly, Paul was not going to forget Israel. He would die for the Israelites. Those are his brethren. That's what Romans 9 through 11 is all about. And of course, he went back to Jerusalem to preach to them. And that put him in a prison state and all of those things. So that was part of his course as well. So a course is like cross country, right? You got a course you got to run. And Paul had a course that he had to run. And so Paul encouraged Timothy to stay on his course. So Paul stayed on his course so he could encourage Timothy to stay on his course. In 1 Timothy, you might remember, it's been a couple, we've slept since 1 Timothy 6, but 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith, right? Same theme that we're looking at here. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Hey, Timothy, you're getting the same thing I'm getting. So lay hold on that thing and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Make sure you keep this thing clean and buttoned up before all the witnesses. And so you're going to be an influence on influencers. So that's what leaders do. Leaders lead. So make sure that you run a good race. You finish your course. Stay on the path. We even use those terminologies today, don't we? When people go astray, what do we say? They go astray. They've gone off the path. They need to get back on the path, right? They need to get in God's will. And so he's like, hey, Timothy, stay on track, stay on course. And one of my favorite examples of that is 1 Corinthians 12, right? The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The further away you get from the perfect, complete will of God, it's like driving a car. If you're swerving back and forth, you're not going to get there as quick. You're not going to get as far as quick. So keep it tight. Keep it going perfect. Acceptable, okay. Perfect's better. And stay in God's will and go straight forward to mark like an arrow, and you'll get more done in the life in the breaths that God gives you. Okay, so point C, let's be ready for the reward, right? Because there's a reward to running this race and staying on course. Ready for the reward because he loved Jesus' appearing, which brings us back down to our verse there in verse 7 and 8. And so there's been a lot of talk a few years ago about the crown, and now the Royals are on their way again. It looks like it's possible. Hold your breath, see what happens. They're doing good, Ron. So they are one of the best teams in baseball right now. So you know what? Even today, the crown in Kansas City is considered an award, isn't it? Every culture has some form of crown to represent royalty or leadership throughout history. The Native American and ancient Aztecs wore elaborate headdresses, which served the same purpose as a royal crown. So Paul's painting the picture, however, of what he would consider a Roman or Greek athletic event where the athlete has competed successfully and received a crown of olive branches. So these were often bestowed upon the athlete by a royal member. In our case, we would receive a crown from our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what Paul's liking it to. Unlike the athlete in Greece or Rome, we are royal priests by nature of new birth, and we are kings, according to 1 Peter 2:9 and Revelation 1:6 and Revelation 5:10. So Paul's ready to receive the reward for running his race. So point one here, Paul's crown. So Paul has this confidence because he is confident in the blood atonement. He has forgotten those things that are behind, the stoning of Stephen, the havoc he made of the church recorded in Acts 8:3, and was under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This crown has nothing to do with his salvation, but faithful service to our Lord in light of his appearing, right? He's preparing himself to see the Lord. The scripture says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So Paul loved God and kept his mission, the mission of God, and preached the gospel as he'd been commanded. So he was doing what God told him to do, and he had not become a castaway, right? Because Paul talks about being a castaway. He doesn't want to be a castaway. He had not departed from the faith, as many good preachers are prone to do. Even in his recent times, I've watched good men who did run well finish their race preaching the gospel that doesn't resemble the one they started with, and that's always discouraging. And so we want to be those that finish the race strong, right? We want to give to others what God has given to us. So the blood of Christ is what saves us and it must be preached. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So there's Paul's crown, and the second one is my crown. So Paul tells Timothy, the Ephesians, HBF, right, and all the churches we fellowship with, that it's not only the one that we're not the only one who will receive this crown. All those who love Jesus' appearing will receive this crown. So let's just think about that a little deeper. Are you ready for the Lord's appearing? Like today. Have we done what we need to do today to glorify God? If he appears right now, are we good? And if not, why not? What do we need to get in shape to be ready for the Lord's appearing? Right? So now, obviously, if you're saved, that's where we want to start, and you're technically ready. But are we ready in the sense of what Paul's talking about running our race and finishing our course? And, of course, I don't really believe I've finished my course quite yet, so I would say I'm not quite done with everything God's called me to do. There's still some things I think I need to get accomplished before I'm ready to go. And so you need to make sure you run your race and finish your course. But are we laboring for the master from the dawn to the setting sun? Are we watching in all things, enduring affliction, doing the work of an evangelist? Are we fulfilling our call by making full proof of our ministry? Right? If you can say that you love the Lord's appearing, you can say that all you want, right? We can all say, oh, and we all do often say that. But we won't have as much to look forward to if we're really not serious about the mission of God in our life every day. And so if we really love the Lord's appearing, we've got to be about the business, right, of being ready for his appearing. You see what I'm saying? It's one thing to say, oh, I'm saved, I'm ready to go to heaven. Yeah, well, we're saved. But what is it he's called us to do in addition to redeeming our soul from hell, right? There's work for us to do. We're saved, Ephesians 2:10. We're not just saved by grace through faith. And of course, that's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, any man should boast. But we're saved unto good works. So there's works that God has for us to accomplish. What is it? And are we going to get it done? Now, maybe you're here and you're like, man, Brian, I don't know what it is. Okay, well, don't worry about that. Just do the next right thing, like I was calling on this morning. The thing that God wants you to do is the next thing that he's calling you to do. Right? In this room, everyone's saved and baptized. But for some people, every Sunday in our church, they need to get saved and baptized. There's a couple that's coming right now. They need to decide if they're going to join Heartland or go from Heartland. Right? They're great people. They're loving it. Well, great. Make a decision at some point. Don't wait too long, because you need to find... If Heartland's not your church, don't burn too much time here. Go where God wants you to go and get in where God wants you to go so you can be everything God wants you to be. A lot of times, people just sit on the fence. That's kind of Laodicea, right? Just kind of sit in that middle, wishy-washy position. God says, be hot or cold. Get off the fence. Go for God, especially if you're saved, because it will affect your crown. It'll affect your preparedness to see the Lord. So Paul's crown, my crown, your crown. So the third one is your crown. So where are you today in the gospel race? Right? So you're all here tonight. You can fog a mirror. You're breathing. That's a good sign. It's not too late to be washed by the blood and join God's family. And I think everyone here is saved, so that's good. So you're saved. So if you're saved, it's not too late to repent of apathy, apostasy, or anarchy. Right? So I reference those as the situation in the book of Judges. In the time of Judges, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. And they were started off with apathy, ended up in apostasy. And before it's over, there's a civil war, and they're killing each other over faux and fake reports sent by a guy who shouldn't have been where he was at, doing what he shouldn't have been doing, and everybody has a big meltdown because of all the anarchy that was pervasive at the time. We don't want to live like that. We want to pour our life out for something that's eternal in the heavens that has a much better return on investment, right? So the things that we're invested in, what is the return on investment, the ROI, right? Return on investment. We want to make sure that we're getting out something profitable so when we see the Lord, we can say, you know what, I've ran my race, I've finished my course, there's a crown awaiting me at that day. As Paul said so confidently, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. It's not the court of public opinion, it's the court of the Lord Jesus, and it's his judgment that really matters. And not to me only, right? Not to me only. I know I'm getting a crown, but all them also that love his appearing. So the charge is to finish faithfully, and it requires the man of God be prepared to fight and prepared to finish. And so make sure you not just get in the fight, but you run it in a way that you can finish it. You can fight to the finish. And so I saw last night as I was preparing my message that Poirier got choked out, man. And so, but he fought the whole fight, got to the fifth round. But even getting choked out, it's okay. So failing to plan is planning to fail. Right? And so where are we going in the gospel race? Have we even started? Are we running or have we stopped running and forsaken the Lord? So the Lord didn't, the Lord hasn't stopped running, right? He's still moving from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, throughout the entire Bible, the Spirit of God's been moving. God, you never see the Spirit of God sedentary in the Bible. He's always moving. And so he's always moving in our life. And he's like the wind, always circulating around and moving. Sometimes he's more still than at other times, but there's always movement. And I know God is moving in our lives and wants us to run the race and finish our course. Failing to run our race is a sure way not to finish it. If you don't want to finish, then don't run it, right? There's lots of Christians that just check out. We even use those terms, don't we? They check out. My daughter used to run cross country, and she'd get going, and for whatever reason, she'd be like ready to check out. So, oh, my ankle's hurt, you know, and I'd have to go out to the course and take her off the course. So what happens when you do that? You don't finish. You're not placing. And you're also not helping your team. Not to throw Elle under the bus, but, you know, she's a junior high kid. But you got to finish the race. Right? It not only helps you, it helps your team. And so so it's important to run the race, to finish the race, because if you want to know that you aren't going to get a reward, then don't run. Just check out. And there's a lot of Christians who do. But for those of us that are throw our hat in the ring, right, and not just a spectator in the stands, but we're actually on the field, be prepared to fight a good fight so you can be prepared to finish strong and take the crown off and give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, because ultimately He's the one that deserves it. It's a small token of our appreciation at the judgment seat of Christ. So if we don't cast our life down before Him today, we'll not have crowns to cast down at His feet when we get to heaven. So it's a perilous time, and we need a plan that works. And this is the plan that works. So hope you guys enjoyed that. I got through there. Well, next time we get back together, we will get into verse 9 and go forward. And I'm almost done, but it'll still take us a few more weeks. So, all right. Any questions? Comments? All right. So that should be up on the recording. I think I got everything recorded. So if you're out there, Pradeep, we love you.